You are Locked On Fantasy, your daily NFL fantasy podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Greetings, everyone, and welcome to another edition of the Locked On Fantasy Football Podcast. As usual, I'm your host, Vinny Ironman. I'm not doing this. I'm writing about NFL and fantasy football for SportingNews.com. Check us out. We got a lot of good stuff for you. The ranking tiers are up for positions. I will have my rookie rankings up soon, which we'll break down here in depth next week on Locked On Fantasy Football. Then also your snake draft strategy tips. We'll also have that up for you later this week. So a lot of good stuff here for you on the show and on SportingNews.com. Check me out there for my written content. Here we continue our series with our final division of key questions. So we've hit 28 teams around the NFL. So if you missed any of those breakdowns here, setting the table for training camp, the preseason, those are up right now. And we're dipping into the start of training camp with our last few teams, and they belong in the AFC West. So we'll go in alphabetical order with this division to wrap things up, and then we'll turn our attention to a lot of rankings, latest news and notes there. Denver Broncos are on today's show. Then we'll look at the Kansas City Chiefs and then close it out with the two teams there in the West, one of the desert Las Vegas Raiders, and end with the Los Angeles Chargers. So a lot of offense tools to be talked about on the show in one division, and the Broncos are no exception. They have a ton of buzz here with Russell Wilson. We're going to cut through that hype a little bit with Russell Wilson and this team overall and see where we're at and where we want to go with this team in fantasy football. So a lot of good stuff to break down. Before we do that, I'm going to tell you, thanks for making Locked On Fantasy Football your first listen today. We're free and available to you on all platforms. All right, let's ask that big question right away. Will Russell Wilson live up to the QB1 status and transfer his value from the Seahawks to the Broncos in the mega trade of the offseason? Now, there's a good question there to explore, because right now Russell Wilson, in the consensus rankings a lot of places, is in that second tier of quarterbacks between 5 and 10. He's actually bringing up the second to last or last spot in that group. So right in the middle of the late QB1s you're looking at. So very intriguing there with his value for sure. Again, people are not sure what he's going to do. His running has kind of scaled back a little bit, quite a bit. Last year, you look at the numbers, I mean, in his finish, he was 19th. So is he going to have that big of a jump? Kind of balance things out. Look at his finishes with the Seahawks from 2017 through 20. He was top fantasy football quarterback because he had 37 TDs there. That was a spike, combined TDs. Then he went to 35, then 31, then went up to 40. That was a big year in 2020. And then he regressed, finally missed games. He had never missed a start since he took over as a starter as a surprise third-round pick in 2012. He had a finger issue. He only missed three games last year, ended up doing that with Geno Smith taking over. So the numbers, however, were rather considerable drop-off there, even when you adjust and set up the pace here over a full 17 games. 3,113 passing yards, 25-6 were his numbers, and not a lot of rushing. This was a very low total for him last year, and part of it, again, missing the games, but still only 183 yards, less than 200 yards over a full season. Just not interested in running as much. We've had a spike for him hitting almost 850 rushing yards. We've seen it decent there, but something scaled back. I mean, the Seahawks offense with Shane Waldron, it didn't quite work last year. Now you get this Nathaniel Hackett, kind of Justin Outen type of offense, and their connection is coming from the Packers and Matt LaFleur, and we've seen the MVP seasons, consecutive MVP seasons by Aaron Rodgers putting up the big numbers. Now, Aaron Rodgers is a bit incomparable with these other quarterbacks because he's going to overcome anything and put up the big numbers, and there's still an argument that he's the best pure overall quarterback in the NFL, even with a lot of young guns around him, and the MVP status says that. But Russell Wilson has been fading a little bit with age, and now he's adjusting to new receivers. The offensive line is not bad. You get Garrett Bowles up front. He's had a pretty good run of it in pass protection after a slow start in his career. So the numbers are there, but I think part of it is also who do you take Russell Wilson there ahead of? And you look at Josh Allen, Justin Herbert, Patrick Mahomes, Lamar Jackson, no. Kyler Murray, Jalen Hurts have a little bit more running upside. From the pocket, you have Joe Burrow and Tom Brady. Matthew Stafford and Aaron Rodgers behind him. Dak Prescott right ahead of him. Trey Lance has some upside now as he's the modified starter. Kirk Cousins had a good QB1 finish last year. Derek Carr is getting a lot of buzz as QB15. So what makes Russell Wilson even good value here? He's adjusting to a new team. We're not sure what their offense is going to look like, actually making the transition from Vic Fangio. They could be still a little bit balanced and trying to figure things out. Cortland Sutton and Jerry Jeudy are coming off disappointing seasons where they didn't help their quarterbacks, Teddy Bridgewater and Drew Locke, at all. So that's a concern. The weaponry is limited overall. I mean, Tim Patrick is your number three receiver. Wilson doesn't give you much in the running game, and that's not going to change here. I think part of it was the structure of the Seahawks offense with Waldron. But I think part of it is also Wilson doesn't want to run as much, and he's a little bit older. So that mobility may not be as valuable there, as he's been pretty durable. He's got that strong base and the tree trunks kind of for legs that have helped him stay durable and not have any lower body injuries. Last year we know it was related to his thumb and finger. So that was a different type of injury, a fluky injury that kept him out. It wasn't something that brought him down. But he's also been slowed down by injuries that haven't shown up, knee and ankle and things that have been just natural wear and tear from just being in the pocket. And he's been sacked a ton, folks. Keep that in mind. His career in Seattle, a lot of sacks. And that's going to catch up to you after a while. They're hits on your body. And just like a running back, when you run and get tackled often, well, the quarterback has to deal beyond getting, like, hit when he's running, and Wilson has done a good share of running, but also getting those hits in the pocket. They are adding up a little bit, I think, for Russell Wilson. So, and the Broncos, the jury's still out. I mean, we look at that division. I mean, you have Herbert and Mahomes are elite fantasy football quarterbacks. Derek Carr is a very hot sleeper right now, and we'll get into his value when we break down the Raiders. But where does Russell Wilson fall? Do you feel comfortable with Russell Wilson? Do you want to even take him? I think there's just too many values ahead of Wilson and really after him as well that you can look at this position. So, look, I think 10 is about right for him, but I'm not sure. I'm more interested in Stafford, Rodgers, Lance, Cousins, Carr, that tier after him. And Dak, we know what he's put up. The big numbers are there. Dak, we know, is modified. I mean, the funny thing, he's ranked 9th here, and that's exactly his finish from last year. So I think that's interesting that Dak doesn't have more upside, even though I think some people see Amari Cooper's loss there, but he didn't usually rely on a lot of Amari Cooper last year. I think there's some other receivers here. So Dak, yeah, I think Dak is a new Russ, and that's how you have to look at it here. And he's a lot more comfortable taking it 9 than Russell Wilson at 10 when you have those other good values. So I just don't need to invest in Russell Wilson. I just don't need to do it. I don't think you get that cheat code of the running quarterback that you think, and I don't think you get that high upside in volume and passing that you get from the traditional pocket passers, including Brady and Stafford and Joe Burrow. All right, we'll address a key running back question surrounding the 2022 Denver Broncos in our second segment. But I do have to remind you about this. If you haven't tried Built Bar Puffs yet, you're depriving yourself of one of life's greatest joys. Guess what? There's a new flavor. Ready? Delicious, indulgent cookie dough covered in chocolate. That's right. Built has done it once again. Let me introduce you to your new favorite cookie dough chunk puffs. Have a light and chewy texture, real cookie dough chunks. And of course, they're covered in 100% real chocolate. All the joys of eating cookie dough without the hassle of making it. Plus, it's healthy for you. Cookie dough chunk puffs are only 160 calories each, and they have a whopping 15 grams of protein in them as well. Run to Built.com to snag a box for you and the family. It will be the perfect treat, or you can find a really good hiding place and just hoard them all for yourself. They're healthy. Don't worry about it. They taste delicious, but they're also good for you, so you can do that. Like all Built Bars, the new cookie dough puff chunk is covered in 100% real chocolate. That means they're healthy and tasty. Chocolate-covered cookie dough with a light, fluffy texture. So good. What's great about Built is that all their Built bars are made with collagen protein, which your body absorbs more efficiently and provides tons of health benefits. Eat something that tastes good and is good for you. You're going to love the new cookie dough chunk puff, whether you need a snack for your workout, a late-night treat, or just need to grab a quick bite on the go. Built is the perfect protein bar. They taste better than a candy bar. Ditch the calories, fat, and sugar. Grab yourself a Built bar. Go to Built.com, use the promo code LOCK15, and you'll get 15% off your order when you're getting those cookie dough chunk puffs. Again, use the promo code LOCK15, get 15% off your order at Built.com. LOCK15, and get in on the cookie dough chunk puffs while they're still here. All right, it is time to continue the show and to break down the 2022 Denver Broncos, and we're exploring the three key questions, just like we've done with all the teams before them and the handful of teams, three more teams to get through. So we've done 28 teams, we're on team number 29, and we'll get to all 32 here pretty soon as camps have opened across the NFL, and the preseason games are just around the corner next week, starting with the Hall of Fame game, involving one of the teams from the AFC West, Jaguars and Raiders in Canton, Ohio. All right, let's ask the next key question, shall we? And it's going to focus on running back. And guess who's hyped up again, just like he was last year? Yep, it's Javonte Williams. Is Javonte Williams worth it as a bona fide RB1? All right, this is a complicated question because he actually finished as a solid RB2, even with the timeshare last year. But let's examine where he is there. So he's ranked in the top 12, no matter how you look at it. Some people have him a little bit higher, a little bit lower on the borderline of RB1s. At worst, he's a high-end RB2, the way we're looking at it. So right now, he's right in the range with DeAndre Swift and Aaron Jones, Leonard Fournette, Saquon Barkley, and James Conner. Alvin Kamara has been dropping a little bit because of the looming suspension. Cam Akers and Ezekiel Elliott are also around there. David Montgomery and the rookie from the Jets, Breece Hall. So Breece Hall is maybe this year's Javonte Williams. It's funny enough, he shares the backfield with Javonte Williams' old North Carolina teammate, Michael Carter. But Javonte Williams also continues to share the backfield. This was probably the worst news for fantasy folks and Javonte Williams hype machine truthers out there, that Melvin Gordon has returned. Yep, they re-signed Melvin Gordon. We thought for sure the Broncos would move on from him, but they can't quit Mel, the former Charger. He's in the mix here, so that was not good news overall. I mean, you have to be wary. I mean, Melvin was right up there producing, so it's not like he kind of broke down, and it's just a matter of the touches. And really, it was worked out well because he transferred from the Chargers. He didn't get that massive workload he did with the Chargers here. So looking at that, it was hard to watch because Javonte Williams just wanted to break free, had some nice big games with the burst and the receptions and all that, but it kept Melvin Gordon fresh and it kept him relevant. He's a guy that was known for not scoring early in his career. Then he scored again in bunches. That's what he did last year, and he was pretty valuable. And keep in mind, I don't think they're all in on Javonte Williams as a receiving back, and that kind of hurts his value as well. Melvin Gordon, they like the experience out there with Russell Wilson. So I don't think suddenly with the new coaching staff they're going to break away from this. In fact, when you are looking at this, I mean, it's a lot similar to what you can see play out that we've had in Green Bay with Aaron Jones and A.J. Dillon. So this is the same coaching staff. It worked out pretty well, right? Having the combination there of one feature back that's rather explosive, that can do a little bit of everything. I think Williams and Gordon cross over a little bit on third downs and those situations where that makes it tough to just say, okay, we're going to play Williams here, give him the early touches, and going to give him a lot of workload. And Gordon is just going to be this guy who's the veteran change of pace here, who's going to be reliable here in key situations for Russell Wilson. That's not going to be the case here necessarily. I think they're still a bit interchangeable. It was interesting they took their time to bring back Gordon. We thought, okay, for sure, Williams is free. Williams is free. He's going to be good. So it's kind of crazy to say he's going to go up 10 spots, right, if he's in a similar situation and with a potential offensive philosophy of sharing the ball here. So keep that in mind. I think I'd rather take him a little bit lower as the RB2s, closer to his value of last year, which is still pretty solid, but I'm not going to take him as an RB1. I'm just not going to do that with Gordon looming on this team. Now, if something happened to Gordon, yeah, Javonte Williams is going to see a bigger role, and then we're going to shoot him up and maybe take him as even a higher-end RB1. But taking him inside the top 12 right now at that position, when there's some other guys that might touch the ball more, I can't do that. It's just too much when you look at it. I mean, especially when Saquon Barkley could have a big rebound season. I mean, people are down on James Conner, but he's still the man there. And look at Cam Akers, Ezekiel Elliott. I think they have some good values. Was Breece Hall, Elijah Mitchell, Antonio Gibson, J.K. Dobbins coming off the injury, Travis Etienne. Some of these guys have similar value, I think, to Javonte Williams. So be careful. Still like Javonte Williams. He's a special talent. Talent is the number one thing that rules fantasy football, but don't go overboard drafting him. Don't draft him too much. Don't ride into post-hype or whatever, because the hype was still there and he still produces an RB2 in a timeshare. That is very good production for a rookie. And we'll take it. Let's just take it there again. Bump him up a few spots from the early 20s there, but still that puts him in the RB2 wheelhouse. So a little few spots down, 15 to 18, a little bit more comfortable where I want to take Javonte Williams as my second running back and not my first run here in fantasy football in 2022. All right, we will do our final look at the Denver Broncos with our preview of sorts, asking the three key questions. So we looked at the quarterback situation, we looked at running back. We will close looking at wide receiver and what's going on there. I do have to tell you, we've been talking about all 32 teams. Well, we've got you covered, blanketed around the league as training camp and preseason started. Our team-by-team podcasts, our local experts, our correspondents and reporters do a great job out there at camp, breaking down their teams, setting up the season. So you got to check it out. I mean, really proud to be part of this network because everyone knows their stuff. Insightful, bite-sized, 5 days a week from here on out as things have revved up here in training camp and preseason, then you're going to get the regular season. All the content you want to eat up about your favorite team, we've got you covered with some of the greatest hosts that you'll find anywhere with podcasts. So check us out, Locked On NFL Network, bring it to you with our flagship shows, Locked On NFL. And of course, us here, Locked On Fantasy Football. All right, it is time to break down the final question surrounding the 2022 Denver Broncos that we want to explore, a key question for the purposes of this show. Who do we like in the Broncos wide receiver core? We'll just keep it wide open here. How about that? So Courtland Sutton right now is going as a wide receiver two. Not a surprise there. And so is Jerry Jeudy on the borderline. He is taking 26 here. So Courtland Sutton is inside the top 20. Jerry Jeudy's inside the top 30. So looking at wide receiver 2-3 out of these two makes a lot of sense when you look at the pecking order. Courtland Sutton, when healthy, is a big target. He can stretch the field on the outside, also go up and get the ball and score touchdowns. But he's coming off a tough season again where he was injury-riddled. He could only produce 776 yards as he returned. He only had two TDs, so he's criminally underused. And that Drew Locke, Teddy Bridgewater situation is pretty ugly. Now, Courtland Sutton's going to be benefiting from Russell Wilson, who made DK Metcalf a thing. So let's look at this. DK Metcalf is ranked 17th with Drew Locke. Courtland Sutton is ranked 19th with Russell Wilson. So I think Metcalf a little inflated, given Locke's disappointment with Sutton last year, along with Bridgewater. And Sutton a little bit inflated here. I still like him as a back-end wide receiver, too. But, again, look at some of the guys where you have the drop-off. And look at the guys around him. Deontay Johnson, Jalen Waddle, I think I like them a little bit more. Amari Cooper is behind Courtland Sutton. Again, part of it is Sutton hasn't been totally healthy, and I don't think he's lived up to expectations. He's got to go up and get the ball. So I'm going to be careful, but I think this is the right wheelhouse for him. I'm not going to split hairs here and say, oh, he should be this wide receiver two, that level. I think this is about the place for him in a lot of drafts, but and you just look at the guys around him, I think it makes a lot of sense. And we want to get into this before we get into that fifth-round drop-off that I like to call at this position. So Sutton is is definitely ahead of that. Jerry Jeudy, however, is a big question mark to me. He just has disappointed, I think, as a route runner and things he's done here coming to league. We thought he would fit well with Bridgewater. Didn't quite happen. He didn't score a touchdown last year in 10 games, so he couldn't stay healthy. Things weren't lining up. The year before, he wasn't all that impressive when he played 16 games, all 16 as a rookie. He had 113 targets, only caught 52. He was a little bit of a big playmaker, can go inside and outside, but that's going to be a big jump. He was 54th and 91st, where that's harder, where Courtland Sutton, when healthy, was on the right track here, so keep that in mind. I mean, Courtland Sutton was a wide receiver 16, so he has that history from 2019. Really fell off when he had that injury, but he was headed to a big year, I think, before he got hurt in game one in 2020. 2021, a good rebound, but at least has some trajectory. We want to see the touchdowns go up for both of these guys. That's my one concern with Russell Wilson and numbers. Are these going to be consistent enough scorers here for his team? But so Sutton I like a lot as a wide receiver too in this range. You just have to hedge your bets a little bit and get some good depth. But Jerry Jeudy, I think you do a little bit better. Think of the guys around him. Darnell Mooney, yeah, more appeal. Gabriel Davis, yeah, better offense. Rashad Bateman, clear number one. Elijah Moore, getting a lot of buzz with the Jets. I think that offense is underrated. You have Chris Godwin, 130. Yeah, I think I'm going to take Chris Godwin if I check out his knee and he's fine. over Jerry Jeudy. You got to think about that. DeVonta Smith has some upside playing off A.J. Brown. Juju Smith-Schuster could end up being the number one target monster there for the Chiefs. So there's some good value there that I'm looking at ahead of Jerry Jeudy. But I think Courtland Sutton is in the wheelhouse with some of the right guys there. Now, do we extend beyond these two? Well, no, because we saw with Russell Wilson, DK Metcalf, Tyler Lockett. So interesting development there where Tyler Lockett has dropped quite a bit to 37. So when you look at that, I think Jerry Jeudy falls somewhere a little bit lower outside wide receiver three range for me. I want to wait and see with him. Sutton could really dominate the targets here for sure. But Tim Patrick also is a factor. I think he'll cut into some of their production. I don't want to invest in him at all in fantasy football. But Tim Patrick, again, he's that guy thrown to the side. Keep in mind, he got that contract extension and locked up ahead of these guys. He's at wide receiver 55. So I think Patrick could cut in a lot to Jeudy's production and a little bit of Sutton. So if I'm going to say who's the best value, it's taking Tim Patrick as a freebie. He's a wide receiver 5. If you want to pop him in there and go there, you get pretty good value. I mean, that's pretty good. I mean, some of the guys down there are just useless. So when you look at that, yeah, you're going to consider him there down there. But again, Sutton, I can see the upside and the reasons why. The physical talent is there. Outside receiver seems to fit the profile of Metcalf on the outside with the scoring. But I don't think Jerry Jeudy is close to being Tyler Lockett. Well, Tim Patrick might have some of those qualities there for Russell Wilson. So we have to see how it plays out. But I think curb your expectations for the Broncos. They have a lot of ground to make up offensively in this division. The other teams are in much better shape. The Chiefs, Chargers, and Raiders with their passing games, explosiveness, running games, all that. Scheme systems, everything is more in the favor of those teams. A little bit more established in many ways and also with a little bit more upside for those players as well. Thanks for making Locked On Fantasy Football your first listen today. Now make your second listen to the Locked On NFL Podcast, where national NFL experts and insiders keep fans dialed in with the biggest stories and the latest news around the league, because an offseason doesn't equal breaking the action. We know that here on Locked On Fantasy Football, and we're grateful that you're joining us here as we go through all the teams and break down the league for you to help you, in the end, dominate your fantasy football drafts and your DFS play and all that good stuff here in 2022. For Locked On Fantasy Football, this is Vinny Iyer. See you next time to close the week as we break down the Kansas City Chiefs.